In many Presbyterian congregations, today is the Sunday when a new class of elders and deacons gets installed and perhaps ordained. Now, at Montclair Presbyterian Church, we take pride in not doing things like the rest of the Presbyterian Church. So we ordain and install our elders and deacons in March, but the Presbyterian Church calendar is set up in such a way that on the last Sunday in January, we hear and consider scripture passages that deal one way or another with the idea that churches are made up of folks called by God to do different kinds of ministry, different kinds of work, both in the congregation and in the world outside of the church as well. And so it is that the gospel readings proposed for the last Sunday in January every year are stories about Jesus calling his disciples. And the epistle reading for the last Sunday of January every year inevitably is today's lesson from 1 Corinthians about how we're all members of one body and about how each of us is important and necessary in the work of God in the world. Now, I love this idea, this concept that first inspired, this is the concept that first inspired me truly to love the Reformed tradition, because this is important. This is an important idea for Calvin and his followers. This notion that God calls each one of us to do some kind of work, and all the work that God calls us to is good, and all the work that God calls us to is of equal importance when it's done in the service of and to the glory of God. I am by nature a big fan of democracy and equality, and as such, I am drawn to this passage and to other passages in the Bible that speak of God's call and the equality of God's call among the members of the church. But since Montclair Presbyterian Church generally doesn't ordain and install elders and deacons until March, I thought it might be interesting to consider this morning's passage with its imagery of a unified body from a slightly different perspective. Because truthfully, I thought this would be a good challenge for me, because I've only ever thought of this passage as it relates to ordaining and installing people to service in the truth, to service in the church. And so I thought I would play a little bit with this passage. Again, I like the idea that God calls us all and makes us different members of the congregation, but I've also been reading a lot of Stoic philosophy in the last few months. Stoicism is the name of a school of thought that was important in the Greco-Roman world at the time when Christianity was having its early formation. And I found that reading Stoic philosophy helps me understand the cultural underpinnings of the New Testament in general, and of the writings of Paul in particular. And one of the things that I've learned from my study of Stoicism is that the central metaphor in today's passage from Corinthians, the idea of everything being part of a unified body, this is an idea that has its origins not in the mind of Paul, but it's an idea that comes out of Stoicism. For example, the Stoic poet Manilius, writing several decades before Paul, writes, "I shall sing of the God supreme with the still wisdom of nature, one with the sky and land and sea, steadying the bulk by means of a balanced compact. The universe is alive with reciprocal harmony and is driven by the motion of reason. One spirit inhabits all its parts and animates the orb throughout its shapes, and it ensouls its body." Now note the similarities. We are all individual members of a body animated by the same spirit. Both the Stoics and Paul said that. The difference is that for the Stoics, the image of the body was a metaphor not for a religious community, but it was a metaphor for the whole universe. Now for the Stoics, just about everything could be a body. From, you know, an idea could be a body, or a city could be a body, or a ship could be a body, whatever. But the great body, the ideal body, the body with a capital B, was the universe. Now this leaves us, I think, with an interesting question. If for the Stoics, the idea of the body made of many members is a metaphor for the universe, and if Paul was deeply influenced by Stoicism, then when Paul uses the metaphor of the body to talk about the church, is he comparing the church to a human body, or is he speaking of the church's role in the universe? Or maybe both. And probably it doesn't matter. The message for the church doesn't change much either way. But still, I confess, this is the kind of question to which my mind turns when I'm suffering from insomnia. And late at night, when I've counted every sheep in my subconscious flock, it seems to me that if the church is meant to be like the universe, and not just a body, but like the universe, that feels at least a little bit different from the church being like a mere body, because the scope is so much bigger. So what if the church is meant to be like the universe, with everything from the drop of perspiration on the forehead of a dung beetle to the brilliance of a supernova playing its special role and having its unique place in the cosmos? What if we're meant to consider the church's role in that cosmos? If that's the metaphor we're supposed to be considering here, then perhaps we need to be asking not just what is my role in the particular congregation or in the denomination, but we need also to be asking, what is the church's role in the world, in the universe, in the cosmos? What are we as a church supposed to be saying and doing relative to what other human organizations and communities are saying and doing? How do we as a church relate to human governments and economies and educational institutions and cultural phenomena and business enterprises or whatever? How can we work alongside other faith traditions who likely are the closest members of the universal body to us in the work of navigating our relationship to things like governments and economies and educational institutions and cultural phenomena and business enterprises or whatever? How do we relate to other members of the body that are close to us? At the start of the sermon, I mentioned that for many Presbyterians, today is the Sunday when we think about what it means to be called by God to serve in some function of the church. Well, for many other Christians around the world, today is the Sunday directly after what we call the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And so it's probably worth asking what it would look like for predominantly white progressive Presbyterians like us to get along with and to support other Christian communities and to acknowledge how much we need the witness of Christians who do Christianity differently than we do. So what would it look like for us to live this metaphor of being part of a universal body and to acknowledge our need for the witness of evangelicals who could teach us a bit about the importance of personal piety, or of Roman Catholics who could teach Presbyterians more about how to welcome immigrants, or of African American Protestants who could teach us a lot about how to speak truth to power, or of immigrant churches who could teach us about how to be hospitable, or of Orthodox churches who could teach us to honor and to draw inspiration from the witness of the ancients. We, in turn, could give back our passion for learning and our desire to bear witness to God's warm embrace of her children who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. And if we're going to be a healthy body, we each need to tend to our own health, which means that as Presbyterians, progressive Presbyterians, we can't just talk about what is important to us. We need to recognize that our support for education and our desire to weave LGBTQ folk into the fabric of our churches, this is a divine calling It defines who we are as members of the larger body, at least for this season in our history. And if this calling of ours is going to be a benefit and a blessing to the rest of the church, then we have to stay healthy and strong and attentive to our work. And I'd actually like to take it a step or two beyond mere Christian unity. I'd like to see us think about how we are members of the cosmic body alongside people of every religious tradition. And we need the work and the witness of other faiths just as we need the work and witness of other Christian traditions, just as we need the witness and work of other members of this congregation. We need, for example, to be inspired by Muslims, the way that Muslims articulate and understand the beauty of God. We need to learn from Judaism's ability to endure in the face of adversity and against all odds to build strong communities. We would do well to imitate Buddhism's work of being detached from whatever distracts us. And we should consider Hinduism's strong articulation of the interconnectedness of all things and of the sacredness of all things. Sikhism can show us what religious integration looks like, and Jainism can show us that nonviolence is something that people actually really do in the real world. And in return for our part, Christians can lift up and offer up our understanding and our articulation of love, agape, that charitable and self-giving love that marks God's interactions with us and that is meant to inspire our relationships with one another. In fact, in that final verse that I wanted to make sure we read, it ends in a way, that final verse ends the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians in a way that feels a little bit interrupted. It says, "Strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a better way." And you'd be forgiven for asking, well, is that it? Or are we going to consider that better way that has just been talked of? Well, the better way to which Paul is referring is love. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, that's how the next chapter starts out. And those words might be familiar to you. Paul writes, "Strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a better way, colon, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all of my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." This articulation of love is a gift that Christians can give to the universe. But we only can give the gift of love if we are healthy. And we are only healthy if we are letting love abide in us and flow through us. As Christians, I believe we are called to personal piety. We are called to welcome immigrants. We are called to speak truth through power. We are called to acts of hospitality. We are called to honor our traditions. We are called to learn, and we are called to open the doors of our fellowship as wide as possible to welcome every child of God. But if we don't allow love to guide us in all of our endeavors, then we are not healthy in a way that strengthens the body that is the universe. We need to pursue personal piety, not out of pride or out of guilt, but out of love. We need to welcome immigrants, not out of political posturing, but out of love. We need to practice hospitality, not out of obligation, but out of love, and because through hospitality, sometimes we welcome angels unaware. We need to speak truth to power, not as a way of getting more power for ourselves, but out of love. We need to learn from our foremothers and fathers, not as a way of avoiding current realities, but out of love. We need to pursue learning with a passion. And we need to make the church as welcoming and as beautiful as the diversity of the rainbow. And we need to do it out of love. For an articulation of love, agape, charitable, self-giving love, this is a gift that Christians can give to the universe. And when we are healthy in our practice of love, I believe the whole universe dances. Or you know what? Maybe Paul was just talking about the church when he mentioned the body. I really don't know. But either way, the invitation for us is the same. Practice a faith that is as healthy and as loving as you possibly can manage. And when you do, whatever Paul may have meant with this metaphor of the body, when we practice a healthy and loving faith, then the whole cosmos can rejoice. Amen.